Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. This is a great day. This is a wonderful day. It's amazing. I'm in New York City, back at the home office, the big studio, looking at Tom DeCelestino, who I have not seen in probably a month, who I'm seeing for the first time since he became the executive producer of the show, and most importantly, who I'm seeing, we're all seeing him for the first time since he became a proud daddy, what, I think 2 weeks ago. So we're not going to introduce his son. His son's probably sleeping or eating somewhere. Both those things will happen in the next 2 hours, but we'll visit with DeCel about his baby boy. And a mistake that I made as it relates to that we all have to live with forever. So we'll get into that later in the show. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call. There's a lot of stuff to tackle and get into. So I'm in New York City covering the NBA Finals from here because our TV operation for CBS Sports HQ is based north of New York City. And I'm in studio at least this week and maybe next week. And really wanted to randomly, for some of you, watch the Copa America final between Argentina and Brazil. I'm a Messi fan. So I went to this bar, soccer bar, crowded with people who actually know the sport well. And it was this exhilarating experience. And between Messi getting his first international trophy and Djokovic tying the Grand Slam record with Nadal and Federer at 20, and Chris Paul trying, at least yesterday, right, still coming up short, although he's just two wins away, remains two wins away. And some of the other things going out there, just it struck me how surrounded by greatness we have been over the last 12 months in this upside-down, bizarre world that has been largely defined by the pandemic. We've also had some of the greatest athletes in the history of the sport put these giant exclamation points on their resume. Brady over Mahomes, LeBron getting a ring with the Lakers, Messi doing what he did on Saturday, Djokovic, and we'll hit that later in the show. I'm very excited that the word has spread that Little Ben, and some of you know him as Ben Roethlisberger or Big Ben, Little Ben, the word that he's, I think the technical term I'm looking for, a dumpster fire of a quarterback and deserves to be, that's spreading. And a former GM has unloaded on what he thinks Roethlisberger will be this season. We'll hit that later in the show. Conor McGregor won't go away, but at least for those of you that loathe him, and I get it, he is now at the point of just breaking down. That UFC fight, also on Saturday, didn't quite live up to the hype unless you enjoy watching people break their legs. And I normally don't. In fact, I don't. And I've covered McGregor back in the day. And I don't know that I like him, but I respect his greatness. But it's probably time that this injury and this outcome lead to a little bit of humility. But we'll start with the NBA Finals. And, man, I make this mistake literally, I was going to say every year, but it's almost every series. Always, always, always bet on the home team in a 7-game series when they're down 2-0 and they go home in a game 3. That's it. It's simple. Didn't do it yesterday. The Bucks were 4.5, 5.5 point favorites, and they won in dominating fashion by 20. And there's a lot of reasons that happened. One is the reason you don't sleep on teams in that situation. You're going to play with a very dangerous combination of absolute desperation. No team has ever gone down 3-0 in the NBA Finals and won the NBA Finals. But also, because normally that kind of desperation brings about panic. It brings about worry. You have to fight through those difficulties. But in that situation, because it's not an elimination game and you're at home for the first time, especially in this pandemic year, where the roar of the crowd and the vibe and the feeling and the confidence that's infused by your fans being around you hasn't been consistent this season, you're going to combine that desperation with a swagger, with a vibe of confidence, and you saw it. At every level, Drew Holiday had his first great two-way player game in this series, and his first, really, in the last couple series, the first of maybe a couple great games. Chris Middleton was awesome. Role players hit shots. The reverse was true for the Suns. Not only did role players struggle, which happens on the road in the NBA Finals, Devin Booker didn't play well. DeAndre Ayton was awesome, but got into foul trouble, which means he played 24 minutes. Why did he get into foul trouble? Well, depends on your view. You might think that just the energy that I described and the desperation with which Milwaukee was going to play were going to lead to them attacking the rim and Phoenix fouling them a lot. And you might subscribe to my view, which is some home cooking, the NBA officials, the NBA itself, at a minimum hoping and maybe willing through that officiating a longer series for more money. But the real star turn in the context of all of those things was Giannis Antetokounmpo again playing at an insane level. It wasn't that long ago, these playoffs, and certainly entering these playoffs, when the conversation about Giannis was, he's great, but he's awesome, however. He's an amazing athlete, only that was true in the MVP voting, where friends of mine, colleagues, came on. And I had a vote for the NBA MVP this year, hadn't the last few years, so I wasn't burdened, I wasn't chained down by what felt like my past mistakes. But friends and colleagues, people who vote, people that I respect, came on this show and their own words, their name attached to it, and said, I'm not really sure I can vote for Giannis again since he's already won two and we saw what he did in the playoffs. And that question mark of whether Giannis was worthy of the accolades others had given him, whether Giannis could live up to the expectations of the contract and the stats and the celebration, is a classic human mistake. We always make the error that the past is going to be prologue for individuals. It sort of is for history, right? I think it's Shakespeare. Somebody smart like that. Tempest, maybe. I don't know. We don't remember that individual greatness is almost always shaped by failure, by stumbles, by having to climb a path. It's not automatic for most people. It's not from A to championship, from the beginning to all-time greatness, without tripping up a little bit. And you look back, and this is something we talked about here on the show. You look back at Giannis's journey and career, coming over from abroad, not being highly celebrated, taking about 3 years to really start to show what he could do, winning those MVPs but not winning the postseason like you're supposed to. It adds up, the way that we misjudge people and we take a single moment and assume it's forever. Combined with the fact that guys like Giannis, everybody, all of us, have to go through some stuff to figure out how to go through it successfully, that this was sort of the year tailor-made for his success. That doesn't mean they're going to win an NBA championship. I don't think they are. I'm not going to be a captive of the moment from last night. I think the Suns are a superior team, despite what we saw last night. I think they're 50-50 to win Wednesday, and I think they'll win the series. But what is true, and what I had forgotten, and so many people had forgotten, is that Giannis is the best player on that floor every single night. Now, the Suns may have the second best player. I think they do, in Chris Paul. They might have the third best player. I think they will over the course of the series in Devin Booker. They might have the fourth best player. In fact, I think they do in DeAndre Ayton, because I don't trust Middleton and I don't trust Holiday to play the way they did yesterday in three more games in this series. And so we'll see what the sum total of all this adds up to. I think it's a parade in Phoenix based on my experience last week in 125-degree weather. God bless those folks. But Giannis's remarkable run continues. 40-10 or better. Something that he's now done twice in a row in the finals. Jordan's done it four times in a row. And as you're going to hear in this clip in a moment, think about this. This is how quickly things turn. We went from, Giannis is good, but he's no Durant. He's not going to even make the finals. He doesn't deserve the MVP because he can't win in the postseason. To literally sitting at a podium being asked how, or maybe not how, he's like MJ.
I'm not Michael Jordan. 40 points in a straight two.
Four in a row.
Yeah, I've never... I'm not Michael Jordan. But, you know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all.
They might do it. And the recipe for what has to happen is exactly what we've talked about on this show last week, exactly what I talked about on CBS Sports HQ in the pregame yesterday. Giannis has to do exactly what he did in yesterday's game. It's 20 to 25 shots from the field. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 free throw attempts. And he hit whatever it was, 13 of 17, 13 of 19. He actually shot pretty well from the free throw line. And by the way, that's also the comfort of being at home. And the chant Suns fans do, they count to, I would say 10, but they really get to 14 sometimes before he shoots. It was effective. Doesn't matter if he goes 10 of 20. It's about Giannis understanding what he is and what he's not. He's right. He's not Michael Jordan. He is never going to be Michael Jordan. It's a terrible comparison. He is Shaquille O'Neal. He is. He can be a version of Wilt Chamberlain. He is, and it struck me yesterday watching the game, he's the best big man in the NBA since Shaq, and it's not even a question. And he can be one of the great big men of all time, which feels off and counterintuitive because he hasn't been framed as a big man. This is a guy whose ascension in part was attributed to his ball handling skills when Jason Kidd was the head coach in Milwaukee and brought in Gary Payton to work with him because Jay Kidd and GP know each other from the Bay. And it was like, look at this specimen of an athlete in Giannis, but now he's going to be a point whatever. The reality is he's a center in the modern sense of the word. He handles the ball. He takes the ball to the top of the key. He can play downhill. He's got a handle. He'll take some threes even though he shouldn't. There was a play yesterday where he had the ball, went to his left, somehow did a Neo in the Matrix move around two guys, jumped to the left, and then bent his body around a guy and laid the ball on the left side. It was incredible. But a lot of what he's done the last couple games, over this 40 and 10 stretch, and I mean offensively, is get into the paint, get the basketball, and go to work. He's a big man. He's a big man who has as much of a non-big man set of skills as you're going to have for his playing type and what is required in the game. He can actually shoot a three and not airball it, unlike, say, Shaq. It doesn't look as awful as it is, even though it's awful. He can handle the basketball, and he's got really great court vision. Had a really nice assist yesterday that was huge. But at the end of the day, he is bigger and stronger and faster than almost and longer than almost any player in the NBA. And his ability down in the paint, close to the rim, to attack the basket, to get buckets, to get to the free throw line, to demoralize an opposing team is real. And one of the weaknesses of the Suns, something we all should have been on, but we were too busy, myself included, celebrating that 2-0 series lead, is they are thin in the front court. They are. It's kind of why I'm a lot suspicious of the NBA. Because once DeAndre Ayton can't play in that game, if they're going to go big, if they're not going to, and they tried. Monty Williams tried to go small. It didn't work. They got blown off the floor. They cut it to four going small, and then it went all the way back up to 16 or 17. Because Giannis is too good to not throw some bodies at him. He's hard to slow down if your big men are out there. The only front court player of any substance, of any impact outside of Giannis, is Frank Kaminsky. Now look, I'm going to Wisconsin for a wedding a week from Friday. The series obviously is in Wisconsin. My family's, I don't want to make fun of Frank Kaminsky. That's not what I want to do. So I'll just leave it here. He's not very good at basketball. That's not much of a solution for the Suns. And it gives Giannis an opportunity. Go at DeAndre Ayton. Go at that team. Attack. Draw fouls. Get them in foul trouble. Try to get DeAndre Ayton on the bench. I don't think Milwaukee's going to win the series, but I don't want to sleep on the thing that I did the first two games. If you have the best player on the floor, no matter what the rest of the team can do, doesn't guarantee you a win, but you are in every game. You have a chance. We saw in game two, Giannis played the same way, and they lost because his teammates could not add any fuel to the fire. But at home, in Milwaukee, with some confidence, sleeping in your own beds, with some friendly rims, maybe some friendly officiating, and Giannis being Giannis again, it infused Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton and a bunch of other guys with real belief and real swagger. And if the Bucks can do that again this week in game four, it's an if. I'm skeptical. And if that happens, they can then transfer that confidence and swagger to one game in Phoenix with that momentum, and I'm skeptical, Milwaukee can win this series. Giannis is amazing, man, and he deserves some respect. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call. 855-212-4CBS. CBS Twitter for me, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, at DSell CBS for Tom DeCelestino. All right, so we're going to get into Djokovic becoming, he's the greatest tennis player of all time. I know technically he's tied with Nadal and Federer. We're going to hit it and talk about it in the context of greatness. I want to talk about all of the ways in the last 8 or 9 months the GOATs around the world have done some all-time career stuff that was punctuated over the weekend in a couple cases by yourself. We'll talk Conor McGregor, Ben Roethlisberger. There's a lot to get to, but you parents know what I'm talking about. You non-parents don't, but if you ever get there, you will. Becoming a dad, at least for me, is the when my daughter was born, it was the single greatest moment of my life, and then the only thing that's ever matched it was the birth of my son. And Tom has now had that experience. He has a beautiful baby boy. It's really exciting. Only I made a joke on the air that he took too seriously, and we have to sort of get into that. It's going to be awkward, so you might want to stick around for it next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Monday. DSell off last week with his baby boy, and we'll get to that here in a second. And we had a series of guys fill in. James Boccioni, Matt Essig, Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor filled in. What you doing? I can't do an Irish. Conor Green. And I think that pirate rejoin must have played 41 times. So apparently it's popular, Tom.
Everyone seems to like it, I guess.
When I did a weekend radio show at a different and much lesser place than this one, we did my producer, Greg, who's a buddy, we did a segment. He was Redbeard the Pirate, and it didn't make any sense. And I would just laugh so hard I would cry and like couldn't talk through like 11 minutes of radio. It was nonsensical. It didn't make sense. I really enjoyed it. We're going to get to Tom's baby boy in a second. What a weekend of sports. It was amazing. Just yesterday, you had the Wimbledon final where Djokovic ties Nadal and Federer at 20 Grand Slams. And hard fought battle for Djokovic. And he did what he always does. He won. And then we went right into England, Italy. And I had money on Italy. My brother, to be fair, my brother and I gambled together, a little combined writer syndicate. His call, not mine. We were already ahead, so we hedged, so it didn't matter. And I watched it in Stamford, Connecticut, where CBS Sports HQ is based. And Poppy Miller is one of our really talented hosts there on air. And she played soccer, and she's from England, and she's English. And so, I mean, it was like watching someone's soul die. Like watching England score in the second minute, gave up the equalizer to Italy, I think in the 70th. Somewhere in the 70th minute, maybe it was late 60s, and then lose on penalty kicks when they missed the final three. Right into the Suns game. And that doesn't even, Suns Bucks, and that doesn't even take into account Saturday, which, again, for those of you that like soccer, Argentina played Brazil in Brazil for the Copa America final, and Argentina gets the win. It was incredible. Right into Poirier versus McGregor, and McGregor broke his leg. It was an amazing weekend of sports, and we're going to hit all of those things later in the program. Man, it is great to be in New York City. I've been here, this is my third time in the last, I guess, 3 months. I was here 2 or 3 months ago, and then back a month ago. I'm back now, and it's like the rest of the country. I live in L.A. I've been to Detroit. I've been to Phoenix over the last, this year. And you've seen things start to open up, but man, I mean, New York City is a special place. It's a busy place. It is great to see it back to where it's supposed to be. And to be at this bar, I Googled soccer bar, and I walk into this bar, and I don't speak Spanish. I used to speak it passably back in the day, but I'm not bright enough to hold on to it. And so I walk in, and all the games are on in Spanish. And it's just wall-to-wall fans of Brazil and Argentina, and then there's some Messi fans. And it felt like being in an arena. I mean, it was so electric and so cool. And for me, it kicked off that weekend of sports because I went from that into the McGregor fight. I got up early enough for Wimbledon. I was in Stanford most of the day working, watched that England-Italy Euros final right into the Suns Bucks. What a great weekend of sports. And that was my weekend. Tom DeCelestino was with his son, and look, I want to hear about it. I'm really happy for him, but I owe the executive producer an apology because my name is, it's Bill Ryder, but my name is William Joseph Ryder, and I always make the same dumb joke, right? Every time someone's having a kid, my boss Sam up at HQ, CBS Sports HQ, is having a kid. I made the same joke. I said to D-Cell, who's a great producer and into the show, and new to the show, I'm like, hey man, you should name your son after me. And I got the text, like, we named him William. They named his son William Joseph DeCelestino. So D-Cell, congratulations. And I apologize. I was just kidding. You didn't actually have to name your son after me.
I guess I took it a little too seriously. Now, I've heard from other people when you're going through the naming process that sometimes it can get a little contentious between husband and wife on possible names, right? My wife and I took all of 30 seconds to figure out what we wanted to name our son. So the last few weeks, as you're giving me a hard time about William Joseph, William's a great name. Really name him after me in my head, because we hadn't told anyone the name, not even even the grandparents.
Oh,
wow. We hadn't told a soul.
Locked it down.
So as you're making these jokes, I'm thinking, oh man, this is going to be rough. Once he finds out the name, this is going to be rough. Little did I know Joseph was your middle name.
It is, yeah.
I had no idea.
You didn't, huh?
So I was so excited to text you.
Right.
And then I thought you were pulling my leg there. No way is Bill's middle name Joseph. It can't possibly be Joseph. I completely named my son after you.
So I have a question, and I mean it with so much respect. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. On the birth certificate, does it say William Joseph Ryder DeCelestino?
We just went William Joseph R.
Okay, just the R?
We tried to disguise it a little bit.
Hey, I'm named after my grandfather, who may rest in peace, who I loved and was amazing. I have a ring on my right hand that he wore into World War II when he served under Patton. It's a family heirloom, really. It's a family trust. And so that name is really special to me. And jokes aside, I love that name. It's an amazing name. Now, have you figured out? Because William, you can go Bill. You can go, I was a Billy when I was younger. I hate it. Unless Tim Bontemps calls me that, then I really hate it. You can go Will. You can go straight William. You can go WJ. I mean, I'm WJR. You can be WJD. That has a ring to it. Oh, but since he has the R on his birth certificate, he could go WJ. Ooh, maybe that's what we call him.
You know, it's funny because we hadn't discussed what we would actually call him as a nickname. We decided William as the first name, and we didn't really say, let's call him Will, let's call him William, let's call him Bill, Billy. But Will just kind of just came out. The first few days, we just said, we're going to go with Will. So we've gone with Will, and we both like it. So his nickname is going to be Will.
If I knew that you were this dedicated to the show and this easy to influence, I think I would have said, why don't we make it a game, right? Like the winner of Brazil-Argentina will determine whether your son's name is Neymar, which would be terrible for him, or Messi, right? Like Messi DeCelestino. Or if you want to go more European, I don't know if that's, you want to look, east instead of south. It's, if England had won, it's Harry. But if it's Italy, it's Leonardo. I mean, Leonardo DeCelestino is a great, he's basically destined to be an artist or an actor, if that's okay. So maybe if there's a next time, maybe we can do sort of a competition, right? That could be amazing.
Because, I mean, is this a bad look for me? Because it's not like me and you have been working together. Yeah, now, we've known each other for quite a few years now.
Right.
We've only been working together on a daily basis for about 3 or 4 weeks.
I mean, a lot of mutual respect.
Absolutely.
I mean, it definitely is flattering in an uncomfortable way.
Now, like, should I have waited maybe until my second child?
I'm the oldest. So if you're going to do it, you got to bring that, because that William Joseph, that's a power name, right? I'm glad there's no one here to laugh. That is a power. You got to bring it as the oldest, you know, that way he can, you know, be the big brother with the power name.
Because maybe it wouldn't be as surprising, you know, if me and you are working together for 5, 6, 7 years,
right?
Like, oh, I named my son after my host, after Bill. We've been working together for 3 or 4 weeks, so like...
No, it's new. It's a little awkward. I'll tell you this. We're not going to have more kids. That ship has sailed. Love Mel and Henry. We're good. But Lori really wants another... I just saw, you know, DA obviously on before us, and when I first took the job, DA somehow pulled out of me that I had Ernie the Cat, who at the time that I moved to New York was 16, and just passed away at 21, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago. My wife used to have four cats. I married the cat lady, apparently, didn't know, but that's what happened. Now we're down to one. She wants another cat. Maybe I can work on the second cat, the next cat being D-Cell. D-Cell, you hungry? You want some food, D-Cell?
I mean, it sounds like it works to me.
Now I love it.
And obviously with a cat, you don't have to go full middle name, so just D-Cell.
Like, D-Cell the cat.
That works.
Lori, we got to change the kitty litter. D-Cell did his thing again, you know, and it's...
Now, how does that work with your wife? Will you have to get approval for the cat's name, or with your kids?
I mean, I don't think it'll go. I don't think that name will go over well necessarily. But I'll have two things in my favor. One, Tom named his actual human kid after me, and so we kind of owe. And two, we're not getting a cat otherwise. I don't want any more animals. I don't want another cat. All right. So William Joseph R. DeCelestino. How is it? Congratulations. You're 2 weeks in. Have you slept at all? How's fatherhood?
First off, thank you very much. Everyone is home. Everyone is doing great. My wife is recovering well. William is doing good. He loves to sleep in the middle of the day. He does not like to sleep at night, which is not good for me and my wife to get sleep.
Can I do an imitation of you the first time I talked to you after your baby was born?
Go for it. Go for it.
I think it was a Saturday or Sunday you called me, right? So you were 5 or 6 days into the... And it's something like this. I'm like, hello? And I hear, oh, God. Bill. Oh, God. It's D-Cell. I can't even do it. You sounded like you were dying. You sounded like you were dying.
You know, everyone tells you in the months leading up to him getting here, you know, like, sleep is rough in the beginning. Sleep, you know, you're really sleep is hard to come by. You have to sleep when he sleeps. And you're just like, yeah, sure. I'm sure we'll be fine. We'll settle in. We'll be okay. Sleep is a real thing, man. Like, I miss sleep. And my wife is a saint because, obviously, today being my first day back, my wife handled everything last night.
Thank you, Rebecca.
She took care of absolutely everything. She is an absolute saint. But I miss sleep.
So you know, it's gonna, because I have to throw to the update here, and it's going to be awkward because if I'm Andrew, I don't want to speak for Andrew. He can speak for himself. But... if you have another son and you don't go Andrew Bogish DeCelestino, I don't know what, oh, Andrew Ryan, excuse me. I think it's because it's ARB. Andrew Ryan B. DeCelestino, it could get kind of awkward, you know?
I mean, I feel like it's already awkward because, like I said, 3 weeks, I've already named him after you. So now do I have to, like, pump the brakes and, like, I can't name my second child after another co-worker on the show?
I mean, you can do whatever you want. You really can. I mean, look, I've already gotten more than I ever dreamed. By the way, in my lifetime, I've known three William Josephs. Me, my grandfather, after whom I'm named, and your son, who's named after me. So those are the three I got. Bogish, I would be careful joking about this because I actually feel kind of weird and exposed and guilty about what's happened here.
Well, as I told you like 2 weeks ago, I don't need as much as a namesake. I just want to know that the kid's born because while you got the full name, I didn't even get a text, a call, nothing like, hey, the baby's here. Like somebody who used to work for us said, hey, Diesel had a baby. I said, he might have. I know one was coming, but I didn't know it was here. I just want to be in the loop when D-Cell number two is here. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for.
To be fair, Bogus, if you guys, if you and your wife woke up and you'd accidentally, you know, named your kid after me, you might keep it secret too.
That is true.
You know, like, what have we, the sleep deprivation.
We're exploring all options.
What's the kid's name? We aren't telling you.
No. What kid?
What kid? There's no kid. No kid at all. Oh, hey, Bogus. What, I'm really excited to hear the update because it normally, the day of the Home Run Derby, also known as Do I Have to Watch That? There's not a lot going on. It is bizarrely busy on this Monday.
Yeah, I think that day will be tomorrow when we're recapping the Home Run Derby. That'll be the day where nothing's happening. Today, we are definitely busy. All the headlines are sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. We are well aware of this, but it's worth repeating. 2 weeks ago, Giannis thought his left knee was shredded.
Donovan, back to Giannis. Slam it! Pepsi found Giannis, who now has 37. 101-76 Bucks.
Ted Davis on Bucks Radio. Giannis leading the expected Bucks surge in Game 3 of the Finals. 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists over 38 minutes. His head coach, Mike Budenholzer.
He's a great playmaker. He's a great passer. You know, he's a great screener. He does so many things, and I think when he's conscious of, you know, of doing a little bit of everything, you know, he's very capable, and that's when he's at his best.
The Bucks closed the second and third quarters on huge runs to cool off the Suns 120-100, cutting their deficit to 2-1 in these finals. Giannis joined Shaq as the only players with back-to-back 40-10 games in the finals. He also got help last night. Drew Holiday had 21 on 5 threes. Chris Middleton scored 18 with 6 assists. Chris Paul of the Suns with 19 and 9 helpers. But Devin Booker just 10 points. DeAndre Ayton limited to 24 minutes because of foul trouble. 2 days off before Game 4 on Wednesday night. The Magic officially hired Mavs assistant Jamal Mosley as head coach yesterday. The 42-year-old reportedly gets a 4-year deal. British police are now investigating racist social media attacks on the three English players that missed PKs against Italy yesterday. Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Saka are all black. A mural of Rashford in Manchester was also defaced last night. On the field here in the States, the U.S. men beat Haiti 1-0 in KC to start group play at the Gold Cup. That goal from Sam Vines in the 8th minute. Up next is Martinique on Friday. Depending on who you ask, this is a great or a terrible way to hit the All-Star break.
The 1-1. And Altuve hits it in the air, pretty deep to left. Going back is LoCastro at the wall. Looking up. See you later. 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 Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth. Jose Altuve, the walk-off homer. 8-7 Astros.
Robert Ford on Astros Radio. Jose Altuve capping a 6-run ninth for an 8-7 stunner over the Yankees. Houston avoiding a 3-game sweep with the rally. Baseball also held its draft last night. The Pirates took Louisville catcher Henry Davis at number one. He's just the third catcher picked first since 1975. The Rangers used number two on Vandy righty Jack Leiter. And yes, that is Al's son. Jim Furyk won the U.S. Senior Open, becoming the eighth ever to win this event and the main U.S. Open. And Kurt Busch won the NASCAR Cup race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Bill, Tom, back to you.
Bogus, if I can go back to the Astros walk-off, and I like the call, but don't you think we needed another see you later? I just feel like we didn't quite get enough of them. I mean, are 11 of them
I
enough?
I think you passed out after number 7.
Are 11? I was up in Stanford, and that walk-off happened for the Astros over the Yankees at the exact moment penalty kicks were going on. So we had a guy that's an Italian-American, right? 100% Italian heritage, who's in the same little green room with a giant TV as an English woman, Poppy, watching this, and all these fans crammed in. And Lucas, the producer of the segment that I worked on in the morning, starts screaming because of the... None of her paying attention. And we look over, we're like, oh, there's a baseball game on. And he's a Yankees fan, and he literally was working, and he turned, and he walked away, and we have not seen him since. There's a lot of heartbreak, and it was too much heartbreak. It was basically 120 seconds. That happened, and then England gave away the World Cup. See you later. See you later. See you later. Sad, sad Yankees fan. Bogus, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you in an hour.
All right, sounds good, guys.
All right, buddy. At Andrew Bogus on Twitter, Novak Djokovic is the greatest tennis player of all time. It's done. It's set. It's all over but the shouting. And we'll, this is rare, but we're going to talk a little tennis because of what he accomplished at Wimbledon next here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show on this Monday. Bill Writer with you. Joyous start to the week. Great to be in New York City. Really, really happy for D-Cell on the birth of his child, William Joseph DeCelestino. Beautiful baby boy. Awesome stuff. Mom's good. Baby's good. Dad is exuberant and very tired. Life is as it should be. And that kind of continues across sports. Messi has finally a trophy with Argentina. McGregor has a broken leg. It does sort of feel like it's appropriate. There's just some random shade being thrown out there toward little Ben. I actually do feel bad for England. But I like England and Italy in the Euro final. What a brutal. And I joked. I got to stop joking. I didn't know I had this power. I joked about Tom naming his kid after me happens. I joked that England was going to score, literally joked in the green room and at CBS Sports HQ that England's going to score in like the first minute, then give up, you know, a goal in the 90th minute and lose in on penalty kicks. Pretty close. Second minute, I think in the 70s. I can't remember when Italy scored because I was so shocked by it. Lost in penalty kicks. A lot of stuff going on. And that continues all week, including Saturday on CBS. A huge day and night of sports begins on the court at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific for the second weekend of Big 3 basketball. That's followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific by final round golf coverage of the LPGA Dow Great Lakes Invitational. Then at 8 Eastern, 5 out on the West Coast, it's Superstar Saturday night and the Battle of the Elliots in Nashville as reigning NASCAR champion Chase Elliott enters the field to duel with his dad, Bill, another great name, at the season finale of the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday on CBS. The bills abound, man, as the dude might say. So, man, there's so much all-time greatness out there. And one of the realities in tennis is that I don't think there's another sport, and it's not, I guess, a major sport, but a secondary sport or larger or more significant that has ever seen a concentration of all-time greats on the level that is happening in tennis. Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic having won something like 60 of the last, I think it's 64, whatever it is, Grand Slams, and overlapping with each other, that level of dominance. Djokovic got to 20, tied the mark yesterday when he won Wimbledon in four sets against Matteo Bertolini, who, by the way, played really, really well. You just can't beat Djokovic. That would be the equivalent of LeBron and Jordan and I guess Kareem all competing at the highest level against each other for 15 or 20 years. It would be fast forward to whatever. Let's just say Mahomes is going to have the career that he's begun consistently. It would be Mahomes, Brady, Montana battling nonstop and winning every Super Bowl, but a couple for 20 years in a row. I mean, there are a few equivalents that are out there. And it has strangled American tennis. It has strangled the careers of all these guys who would have won. So name drop alert here. Andy Roddick's a friend of mine. I got to know him when I worked at Fox Sports 1. And he's a great guy. And one of the criticisms of Roddick, because he was the number one player in the world, the last American to do that, won the U.S. Open, won that at a very young age, and then never won another Grand Slam. And a criticism of Andy was that he just wasn't good enough or able enough to win more when he should have. And the reality is that the fact that he got one at all at the sort of birth, it was the birth of the era, but Federer had already won, I believe, a Wimbledon, is an amazing accomplishment. These guys have destroyed and strangled the glory and the careers of so many others. What Jordan did to, you know, Malone and Stockton and Ewing, and I would argue Gary Payton, even though Gary would take exception with that, these are what guys did to a generation and a half of tennis players. And so the question's always been interesting, who's going to be the all-time great? Who's it going to be? Federer is probably the people's champion, is the greatest Wimbledon champion of all time, has won more Wimbledon titles for the men than any person in history. And I'm not disrespecting Serena. I'm talking men's tennis. If you want to talk all tennis, I'm with you. Serena's in the conversation as the greatest of all time. Although I think Djokovic is going to pass everybody. Nadal is the great French Open champion of all time, but they've all won on every surface, all the four surfaces. And then there was Djokovic behind a little bit, got his you-know-what kicked early on in his career. I can remember an early Wimbledon watching Djokovic in a final against Federer and thinking, man, this guy's amazing. Maybe he's going to beat, and then he just got destroyed. But he figured it out. And I think one of the reasons he hasn't been celebrated, one of the reasons he hasn't gotten the credit that he's due, is that he's not likable. I think he tries to be likable. I want to like him because I think he's really he's just an incredible player, incredible athlete. I'm a Nadal fan. Others are Federer fans. Something about Djokovic is just not enjoyable, his personality. Michael Jordan wasn't the nicest man on earth, but he could sell himself. He could inspire an entire generation. Many of you don't like LeBron, and that has more to do with politics, but he's an incredibly impressive guy. And there are things I find him very likable behind the scenes, the way that he treats people. I mean, I'm trying to think the greatest baseball players of all time is a little bit different, but I think the greatest pitcher I've ever seen is Greg Maddux. And you can argue with, I know you can argue with that, but one of the more interesting, nice guys you could hope to be around. I can kind of go down the list of, I mean, I don't think Mahomes is the greatest player of all time, but he's remarkably and overwhelmingly cool. And Tom Brady isn't likable, but he's charming. Djokovic just doesn't have it for some reason. And maybe you'll hear it differently here. And I know it's not his first language. If I were trying to talk about my legacy in a second or third or fourth or fifth language, I could not do it even remotely effectively. So my judgment is wrong, right? I'm just saying, right or wrong, as I listen to him here, I talk about his 20th Grand Slam victory. There's something about him I want to root for, and I struggle to do it.
Wimbledon title number 6, but your 20th Grand Slam title level with Roger and Rafa. What does that mean to you?
it means none of us three will stop. I think that's what it means. Look, I've mentioned this before many times, and I have to pay a great tribute to Rafa and Roger. They are legends. Legends of our sport, and they are, you know, the two most important players that I ever faced in my career. They are, I think, the reason that I am where I am today. They've helped me realize what I need to do in order to improve, to get stronger mentally, physically, tactically. When I broke into the top 10 for the first time, I lost for 3-4 years most of the big matches that I played against these two guys, and you know, something shifted end of 2010, beginning of 2011, and last 10 years has been an incredible journey that is not stopping here.
It reminds me of what we discussed with Giannis. It reminds me of what I think is going to arrive for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, despite all their success already after that beatdown against Tom Brady and the Bucks. Real greatness is shaped by its failure against other greats. Not always when it can respond a certain way. You fast forward Djokovic and getting dominated by Federer and Nadal early on. He is now 13-6 in finals against Roger Federer, 11-6 in Grand Slam finals, including having won the third most Wimbledons of all time in the history of the sport. Djokovic is the all-time Australian Open winner. That's his surface. But he's won 6 Wimbledons now. That's the third most in the modern era. Federer has 8. Djokovic may pass him. He just beat Nadal on clay when that wasn't supposed to be possible. And I love that. It's rare. But the ability, and I think you're going to see it from Mahomes. I really do this upcoming season. I don't know what his touchdown over-under is yet, but over, hammer the over. I think he's going to be sensational. I think you saw it in a certain way as a team. It's a different thing as a team, but from that Dodgers squad, after what they went through with the Astros last year, I think you saw it from LeBron James, and this is 10, 11 years ago, what happened against the Mavericks. I think in a certain degree, Tom Brady's second act is in part because of Deflategate and the way you go look at how he's played since that suspension, whenever the hell that was, 2016, whatever it was. Djokovic's ability to not have his spirit crushed by those two guys and then to become one of those two guys, to make it three, and then to pass them and to crush their spirits, and he has crushed Rodgers. He's the greatest tennis player of all time. And it is I think it's a reminder that real greatness, the actual greats, are mentally tough even more than they're physically imposing. Djokovic's mental toughness is amazing. I'm not putting Giannis on the pedestal. He's not that high. I got it. But I think just keep an eye on how Giannis responds to all the doubt of the last couple of years. And everyone wrote them off in the Sun series. Djokovic is a reminder that when you lose, when you struggle, when you get written off, that's when the true greats emerge. It's why Jordan held on to all of his anger, even at his Hall of Fame speech, where he hated everybody's awful. It's like, bro, you're the greatest of all time. This is your coronation again, and you're angry. Well, that's part of what makes the greats great. And I want to get into that in a more specific way here on the show. Bill Ryder with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call and weigh in. And Twitter, Sports Ryder, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Think about this in the last year. You've got Djokovic, who just did what we just talked about. You've got Tom Brady, who has, I'm sure, heard the talk that Mahomes is eventually going to pass him or might pass him or could pass him, destroying, as one of the biggest underdogs we've seen in the Super Bowl in the last 25 years, destroying the Chiefs and Mahomes. You've got Messi claiming what he claimed on Saturday as certainly the greatest soccer player of all time. I think, and it's dumb, but because of that, we have had greatness everywhere, and we're going to dive into that here on CBS Sports Radio when we come back in just a moment on Ryder Than You.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Yeah, it can. So can you. If you want to call us, I mean, hang out, chill, have your voice shape the show. 855-212-4CBS. Mike Samter produces Teague and Tierney. Excellent show here in the afternoons on CBS Sports Radio. And he came in to try and talk DeSalle into swapping the birth certificate name to make William Joseph DeSalestino Joseph William. And I said, Helen, that's done. Ship has sailed. Head of the promised land of named after your host. I love the dedication. I love DeSalle's dedication. The executive producer back from the birth of his baby boy. Congratulations. Awesome news. And I have a request for the Phoenix Suns. And look, I know we're on in Wisconsin. Bucks fans, I apologize for what I'm about to say. To my Uncle John, to my cousin Stephanie, who gets married in a couple weeks, and I'm in that wedding, both of whom I love, I am sorry. But I need the Suns to win the next two games. I just do. Very upset about the outcome of yesterday's game for selfish reasons, right? The old joke, it's my joke, but it's true. People say, who do sports writers root for? Whoever wins the first game of the NBA Finals. Because I just want to go home. But for me, I really need the series to end by Saturday so I can make it home in time for my daughter Madeline's birthday. So I'm sorry, Bucks fans, but Suns, I need you to win the next two. I've never missed one of my kids' birthdays. And my wife, Lori, who doesn't, she gets so mad when I tell this story. But I'm going to tell it because I'm a bad husband. Lori knows nothing about sports. I'm sure most of you have some friends. I got like two guy friends. I saw one of them in Phoenix, a buddy of mine I hadn't seen like in 10 years. Great guy. He doesn't know anything about sports. He doesn't know he asked, like, how do the NBA Finals work? What is it? Like, is it one game or set? That's Lori. So I once convinced Lori, because I'm a bad person, that the Super Bowl, gosh, she gets so mad when I tell the story, was held on an island called Les Orleans, south of New Orleans, its own country, where the Super Bowl took place. And it's amazing I'm still married. I held on to that joke for like 3 or 4 days. And so that's my wife, who's not a big sports fan, who decided to watch the game last night to root for the Suns, and she wrote me a simple text when the Bucks got up big. What is this horse bleep? And I wrote back, baby, this is sports. So anyway, come on, sons. You can just forget the drought in Phoenix. Forget what Wisconsin fans need or want. Forget Chris Paul's legacy. Forget all the sweat and toil and blood and thought and commitment that this really, I think, special Suns team has put together for their own ends. Some random guy that talks on the radio that you don't really know needs to get home to see his daughter Madeline on her birthday. Get your bleep together and win two basketball games. And I think they might. The last year, I was trying to figure out why in the last year so many greatest of all-time athletes have had these capstone moments, these exclamation points to their resumes, their careers, these blindingly beautiful sporting careers that have become even brighter and better. And I guess maybe some of it is just in the last, you know, 15 or 20 years, human achievement increases at an exponential scale, right? Our understanding of science, our understanding of medicine, our understanding of technology. As money pours into those things, it motivates breakthroughs. And maybe it's just as simple as there's so much money at stake in sports these days, and there's so much on the line that those that will commit to utter excellence, right? Guys like Djokovic and LeBron treat their bodies like temples and can play longer and deeper than they should have been able to. Same for Tom Brady. And all the rewards that come with it, maybe those few that are the greats can play longer because they're committed, because they understand what's at stake. You were amazing in the 70s. You probably were smoking a cigarette, drinking the way that I do, unfortunately looking maybe a little bit the way I do, playing a lot less than you used to. You're doing the exact same level of a career relative to your peers in 2021. You are probably, and I can't do any of this stuff, I don't know what's healthy, gluten-free, eating vegetables, working out, some kind of thing with freezing your body. I don't really understand it. If you could see me, you would know I don't understand it. But just think about the last 12 months, all the ways that the greatest athletes in their respective sports ever or close have achieved things that are critical to how they're going to be remembered. This past weekend, Messi, who obviously longtime Barcelona player, I think the greatest soccer player of all time. I mean, I'm partial. I've just gotten to soccer obsessively in the last 2 years. But the criticism, the knock was he'd never won any kind of major international trophy with Argentina. Had come close many times in the Copa, which again happened this weekend, but before had lost in finals, lost in a World Cup final, heartbreaking, and it was the big criticism. It was the emotional thing and the resume builder he needed for whatever doubters were left. And on Saturday night, Messi against Brazil, which was a superior team, against Neymar, who's an incredible player, in Brazil. Match was supposed to be in Argentina, couldn't be because of COVID. In Brazil, huge home court advantage. And Messi got Argentina there, and then he wasn't as impactful in that game. But Argentina gets it done. They win. And it's this huge thing for him. You can go back to the end of the 2020 season, which isn't that long ago. Two things happened. Clayton Kershaw, and it's harder to take greats or all-time greats, and you have to sort of, I think, do it in categories in baseball because the history of the sport is so long. But there's an argument, and I used to be one who made it, that Kershaw might be the greatest pitcher of all time, was certainly in the conversation. Certainly the greatest of his era, and maybe, you know, I don't know how you want to define the latest modern era, but let's say Ken Griffey Jr. and beyond. I think there's an argument that over that stretch, right, early 90s, late 80s and to today, Kershaw might be the best pitcher I've ever seen. Maddox is probably, for me, the counterpoint. Pedro's, there's an argument. Randy Johnson is most dominant. I don't think it was as consistent. But what Kershaw didn't have was a World Series. And normally in baseball, I wouldn't hold that against anyone. It's hard to get into the... I mean, Mike Trout's not... He may never play in a World Series. He's not going to be a terrible baseball player. But the difference is Kershaw has been in World Series, has won consecutive again and again and again and again NL West division crowns. He's on a team that gets there, and he didn't pitch well. And he finally got that ring, that crowning achievement, and played really well, pitched really well in this past World Series. It's another GOAT of a kind getting that elusive victory when it matters. LeBron may not pass Jordan for some of you. I think LeBron is probably going to be, I think it's going to be nebulous whether he's the greatest basketball player of all time. If you don't think it's either LeBron or Jordan, then you're wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. But getting another ring, right, getting for him what was a fourth, doing it for the Lakers, doing it that late in his career, coming within striking distance of Jordan and doing it for a third team. LeBron is now the only player in the history of the NBA to be a Finals MVP and champion, obviously, for three different teams: Miami, Cleveland, the Lakers. That's a crowning achievement. That's a resume builder that no one else has. That's happened in the last 7 or 8 months. And then yesterday, with Djokovic going out there and becoming, he's tied technically, but he's going to win 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 more. Oh, and I forgot one. Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is probably, if you had to rank all these guys, I guess most people would put Messi higher because internationally it's a bigger sport. But for me, as an American, Tom Brady's the most important athlete of my generation since Jordan. And as much as it pains me to say this, I think there's an argument that he has surpassed Jordan as the most impactful, the greatest, the most successful, however you want to go with the semantical part of this. He's the best athlete of my lifetime, I think. I mean, the fact that in his 40s, he won another Super Bowl by simply arriving at an organization in Tampa Bay that wasn't very good the year before. They weren't that good. Same coach, same basic team. He subs in for Jameis Winston, who did throw 4,231 interceptions the year before Brady got there. And by the way, Brady struggled early on, right? How does he blend with Bruce Arians' offense? Can Bruce Arians adjust to him? And slowly but surely, through, I would argue, Brady's excellence, his willpower, whatever he brings to the table, and I'm not a Tom Brady fan, he turns Tampa Bay into a contender. And not only that, think about this. The two guys, if you're going to measure Brady against anybody who's still competing, like most of his rivals have retired. Drew Brees is gone. Peyton Manning is long doing comedy sketches. So in terms of guys that are still on the field, there's Aaron Rodgers, who's never going to get near the ring count that Brady has. But there was an argument for a time before it got overshadowed by Rodgers' drama. Whoever's to blame for that drama, and I used to make this sort of semantical distinction. Well, Brady's the best of all time, but Aaron Rodgers might be the most talented. Well, maybe not. And talent doesn't really matter if it doesn't translate to excellence. Ryan Leaf was a talented quarterback, not the greatest quarterback of all time, but talented enough to play in the NFL. Talent's not everything if you don't utilize it, if you don't channel it. Brady goes into Lambeau. Dude goes into Green Bay, Wisconsin. That is not an easy place to play ever, particularly an NFC Championship game. He beats Aaron Rodgers. Then he goes to a Super Bowl against the rising next greatest of all time. I've already crowned Mahomes as potentially that, as worthy of watching. And I think it's real. Look, we said this about LeBron when he was a high school kid. Unfair to do that to a high school kid, but true. And the moment LeBron got to the NBA and we saw it, it was, oh my God, if he stays healthy, LeBron could pass Jordan. Doesn't mean he will, but he can't. Mahomes is the same thing. MVP, not only a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, having lived in that community and written about that organization for a long time. That's amazing. And the guy, when there were 16-game seasons, got to that 50-touchdown mark, and he's been in the NFL as a starter for less than a handful of years. It's incredible. So against that Chiefs team that were a big favorite, Brady comes in and destroys those guys. We've had 7 or 8 months, and I'm sure I'm forgetting like some random sports, of the all-time greats out there doing the things that they're doing. Writing their names, etching their names forever on whatever Mount Rushmore represents their sport. I don't like Tom Brady. I don't. I want to like Djokovic, and I better learn to because I think he's going to win 7 more. I'm a huge Pat Mahomes fan. I'm a huge Mahomes fan. I'm obsessively in love with Lionel Messi. In part because I don't have to talk about that much for work. I've never been around him. I can just enjoy the sport without having to know anything about him, right? You get to know guys, then you learn about Chris Paul. It's really hard to root for the dude. I'm a huge Messi fan. And LeBron, I know, so it's complicated, but I like LeBron. All of these guys in the last 6 or 7 months have reminded us of the ridiculous greatness that they have and they continue to achieve. And I'm just going to try to enjoy it. I really don't want Brady to win another Super Bowl. It probably makes me a bad person. I kind of want him to look like he's 60 this year. I don't want him to get hurt. I just want him to be so feeble suddenly that he has to retire, right? But if he doesn't, and he may not, if he goes out there and does all the things that he always does, which is just win, which is just somehow get it done. If LeBron gets another ring next year, and LeBron is going to win another champion. He just is. Look, I hope it's the Suns. I'd love to be Milwaukee, too, because I have family there. Whoever wins that NBA championship, it's going to be legitimate. It is. And in the same theme, he's not a greatest of all time, but if Chris Paul gets a ring, I don't want this to be true, but I think he could be, I really do, I think he could be the greatest point guard of all time. Because he is, I think he's that good and he's that talented. But whoever wins that championship, it's going to count. Because the injuries aside, it's going to count. That said, there's not going to be every team injured next year. I think LeBron's probably going to get another one. We'll see if Messi even stays at Barcelona. We'll see how that goes. Djokovic is going to win a ton more. And I'm just going to try really hard to just enjoy it. Because we are surrounded by this golden age of sports. It really is amazing for those of us sports fans to be able to sit back and to watch this level of excellence. This all, we may never see it again. The coming together of this kind of domination is amazing. And I'll leave you with this thought. Why you should appreciate it. And how sports that pull our attention because of these individuals can lose their luster when they go away. You golf fans aren't going to agree. I get it. But for me, golf is not the same without Tiger Woods. It's just not. And I know Koepka's amazing. I know DeChambeau's kind of a villain. And there's a lot of guys that I can bring up there. Dustin Johnson. There's a lot of guys that play golf at a really high level. But when Tiger Woods won that U.S. Open, I guess 2 years ago now, right? It's amazing it's been 2 years. It was one of the most inspiring and for me amazing moments as a sports fan that I can remember. It was also the beginning of the end for me of really being emotionally invested in golf the way that I want to be. Because it was Tiger that pulled me into that sport the way that I watched it, not anything else. And who knows how true that'll be going forward in any of these sports, to a lesser degree, right? We're going to watch the NFL. I'm going to watch the NBA. But this level of greatness is rare, and we should appreciate it. And it's been on stark display this weekend and over the last 7, 8, 9 months. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Man, this show is flying by. Diesel comes back, and the show just cruises. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not he's fallen asleep at the board. He hasn't yet, but oh, my God. This is his first day, and he's like, he's tired, but he's like, I'm in. Let's go. We're not going to judge him if on Thursday he needs a little catnap in the commercial. I'm not going to judge him. 855-212-4CBS if you have any thoughts or perspectives on the GOATs that are out there. There's also a bunch of stuff we haven't hit yet. That's what buy or sell is for. We'll round up a bunch of headlines and give you a take on each one next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
It's a high concept Knives Out sports in an elevator movie. If you have not seen Knives Out, great. Great sort of murder mystery with Daniel Craig and a bunch of randos and the guy that plays Captain America as a bad guy-ish, sort of. Tom Cruise is dating Captain America's girlfriend from the movies? Cool. Watching Wimbledon, they kept flashing some guy. I'm thinking, is that Tom Cruise? Am I watching Wimbledon or the start of Mission Impossible 51?
I missed that. So
yeah.
Is that... That's for real? That's not just like rumor and tabloid? That's actually happening?
According to my wife and then Google at 1 a.m. on the way back from Stamford, Connecticut and People Magazine, it's real.
Oh, you had to fact check it. You wanted to make sure.
Lori's like, look this up. And then I Google imaged her, Greg, you know, because I want to see what she looks like. And I had to write Lori, be like, this is not quite as wholesome as the Marvel presentation of, I think it's Haley Atwell or something like that. Yeah, I mean, good job, Tom. Live your best life, man. Mission not so impossible. Go out there and, you know, live your best dreams. Good for that guy. Tom DeCelestino, everybody. DeCel CBS on Twitter. Man, being a dad that's awesome. I'm incredibly happy for you. It's very, very cool. Although Tom doesn't drink. I've never understood people who don't drink coffee. I mean, it's healthier. I it's better for you. It'll save you the jitters, but also just that will wake you up. That will get you going in the morning.
Now, is it that you don't understand people who don't drink coffee or you don't trust people who don't drink coffee?
I don't trust you anyway, so it's like we don't even have to worry about that particular. No, it's not a lack of trust. It's more, I met someone once, literally, I won't tell you who, but who's like, oh, I've never had ice cream. What do you mean you've never had ice cream? Yeah, I don't really want ice cream. Well, how do you know? Both of my kids, and they were young, were furious when I tried to shove the first of babies, right? Like, not babies, but one and a half, two, little ice cream in there. And then they're like, oh, that ice cream's amazing. How do you know you don't like ice cream if you've never had ice cream? That's more of that, just the bafflement of, not that coffee tastes good, but when one is dealing with what you're dealing with, you know, sleep deprivation, in your case, because of a newborn baby boy, it's a nice little way to get going. Now, is it a drug? Are you addicted to it? Do you have to have it? Do you go through withdrawal like I did on Saturday if you can't find a freaking place that serves coffee in New York City? Yeah, you're in some trouble. Might be some headaches. You may or may not drink some cocktails just because you're like, this restaurant doesn't have coffee. Let's do some brunch cocktails. I'm in New York by myself.
Now, it's funny, too, because I've never come across someone who also doesn't drink coffee. I've never met that person yet where I can relate to them and be like, yes, I've also never had a cup of coffee in my life.
To be fair, the abnormal rarely meet the abnormal because it's not normal. It's a rare. You're rare. It's rare.
There's got to be a few of us out there.
I was going to go get you a coffee today when you're, you know, and I'm like, do you drink coffee? And you go, I don't. It was more like, do you drink coffee? And you'd be like, yeah, I take it black. Or just so I could like, go get you, surprise you a little coffee. You named your kid after me. I'll get you a freaking cup of coffee. But you don't drink coffee. What do you drink? What are you drinking them? Water?
Water, Gatorade, orange juice. I'm that
You're
guy.
You're so wholesome. All right. Do you drink a lot at night? Like alcohol?
Honestly, no. Yeah, I'm more just the weekends.
We're going to steer you to some real bad habits working together. I got you. All right. Our coffee-free colleague, a new dad, is going to take us through buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, here we go, Bill. Let's start it off with some NFL. Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore finally broke his silence on his contract dispute with the Patriots, telling ESPN, quote, I just want what I'm worth. However that plays out, every player should be paid what they are worth, end quote. The 30-year-old and 2019 Defensive Player of the Year was a no-show for Pat's mandatory minicamp last month as he continues to rehab his partially torn quad that he suffered last season. Buy or sell how Stephon Gilmore has handled his contract with New England this offseason.
All right, so I'm going to sell it because
sell.
I'm a big believer that you live out your contract regardless of what you want or you're paid too much or too little. And I've said this on the air before. I have two jobs. I have this job and the TV job. I have a contract in both. I have had contracts that have overpaid me. I have contracts that have underpaid me. I have contracts that have paid me the right amount. Whatever. I'm under contract. So I'm always put out by it. However, I understand that at his position, at his age, he wants to get everything he can. I understand where he's coming from. I just wish the reality of the business was the contract is what it is. It's not. So I get what he's doing. You operate within the leverage that is in front of you and the opportunities that you can claim, but it always puts me out.
Speaking of contracts, the Seattle Seahawks will look to make their 10th playoff appearance in 12 seasons in the Pete Carroll era. And this year, as linebacker Bobby Wagner says, Russell Wilson drama this offseason is done with, telling USA Today Sports, quote, I definitely feel like it was overblown, but it's all water under the bridge now, end quote. Buy or sell Russell Wilson publicly being happy in Seattle this season, even if the Seahawks fall short of their team goals.
So I don't believe that there's no drama, but I do believe he'll be happy, and this is why. I'll buy it.
Buy.
I actually believe that he played some silly hardball game, tried to play the league game. You know what? Realized Aaron Rodgers is better at this garbage than I am. Looked out at the world and was like, do I really want to be a Chicago Bear? And I have the cheat code for you, Russ. You don't. We want you. You don't. He's got a great thing going. It's an incredible organization. They've had a lot of success. It's a really good culture. Those are hard to build. We've already seen, whatever your criticisms of Pete Carroll, and they're legitimate. They can be legitimate. He tore down an entire defensive unit that had a name. Legion of Boom, a legend, and rebuilt it in real time to pretty serious success. Make a few tweaks offensively, bring in some weapons, which they've already done, and that is a team that there's never a year, God, it's so weird, the 17-game schedule, where you don't feel like they can win 10 or 11 games. And now I guess I have to add like half a game, 10 and a half, 11 and a half games, and there's no such thing as a half win. So no, I think he will be happy because I think he probably peered into that abyss that was somewhere else. It looked back in the form of the Bears or whatever other organization. He realized he's got a good thing going on.
Now, Bobby Wagner coming out publicly and saying that it's water under the bridge, that has to bode well for Russell Wilson. I don't know if that's how his teammates actually feel inside the locker room when reporters aren't around. Like, does Russ have to – does he have to address that with his teammates?
I mean, I don't think so, because he does – look, Seth Wickersham, my buddy, ESPN The Magazine, before that went out of business, broke a story a couple years ago now about the schism between Wilson and the old defense, and they went away, right? The reality is that he gets special treatment. He's probably considered, you know, one man's diva is another guy's quarterback. Like, when you're a linebacker, you get treated a different way. Just like when you're a radio host, you get treated a different way than a superstar radio host. Like, that's part of the, that's part of the way that it goes. But no, I think probably they understand that there is a talent puddle, not a talent pool, at the quarterback position in the National Football League. And they don't have to like Russell Wilson to believe that he is the best option they have. And I don't think they hate him. Like, I know for a fact, I've talked to a bunch of guys who play for the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger is disliked, actively disliked by a lot of guys in that locker room. It goes beyond he's a diva or he's a little separate from us, or, right? Like, they just don't like him. I don't think Russell Wilson is hated. Maybe some jealousy, maybe people a little put out. But I think that defense understands what they have, and I think they're going to make it work.
All right, as we mentioned earlier, a big, big weekend in soccer yesterday as England and Italy drew a 1-1 tie that sent Euro 2020 to be decided by penalty kicks. Italy went on to win 3-2 in the penalty kicks as Wembley Stadium became a scary scene as riots erupted outside with angry fans. England's long drought continued, having not won a major international championship since the 1966 World Cup. Buy or sell Euro 2020 being decided by penalty kicks?
Oh, I'll buy it. It was amazing drama.
Buy.
What I'll sell is Gareth Southgate sending out three youngsters for the last three PKs, including, I think, what, a 17-year-old?
Sell.
On the last one? England had one of the deepest benches in this tournament. Certainly markedly deeper than Italy. Sub in some of those guys in the 80th minute. Have some fresh legs for stoppage time, and have some veterans who can... I'm not a soccer expert, and I know that.
I'm far from soccer expert, too, and I was checking in on this game, and it just... cheap's not the right word, but it just felt like... it feels like a mutation of the game for penalty kicks.
I think that's the American in you, dude. Like, I hear you. Like, in the Copa, they just, like, 90 minutes, they go to penalty kicks.
Right, right.
It's like there's no... It's part of the drama. I like the tension. It's palpable. It's stressful. It's on the margins. I hear you, because it is. It can go either way. But England completely choked it away. I mean, they had it. Italy missed the first one. England missed the last three. They missed three of five. Oh, poor England.
As I gain more and more soccer knowledge, I will, I think, get more comfortable with games being decided by penalty kicks. But yesterday, it just, I don't know, it kind of bothered me. It just, all this anticipation, obviously, for the championship, the game meant so much. And we got penalty kicks.
You know what I'm hearing here? I'm hearing a what to sell. Like, don't be afraid to bring the hot soccer takes for the segment what to sell. As in, what to sell are you talking about? I love it.
I feel like one's brewing. I mean, it's been a while since we've done one.
Maybe we'll do one tomorrow. Tomorrow's kind of a slow day, and you have a theory that Giannis is a slab of concrete that I really enjoy.
I really tried to sell you on.
I know you did.
I tried to sell you on that so hard.
I read it this morning. I really liked it, and I also laughed. I'm like, this is great. It's so intricate. So tomorrow, just remind me, executive producer Tom DeCelestino, who named his kid after me, William Joseph DeCelestino, we'll do a what to sell, and maybe we'll do a combo. Penalty kicks suck, and we'll make all the soccer people mad. And then why Giannis is a slab of concrete.
Got it. We will do that tomorrow. All right, Bill, let's finish up with some basketball here. On Saturday night, in their first exhibition game in preparing for the Olympics later this month, Team USA suffered a surprising 90-87 loss to Nigeria. But after the game, head coach Greg Popovich said there's no reason to hit the panic button.
It means nothing if we don't learn from it. But it could be the most important thing in this tournament for us to learn lessons from this and see what we did to move on, because it's a great group of guys, high character, and we'll figure it out. But I don't think anyone should act, nor will we act, like this is the end of the world. It's about everybody else deserves a lot of credit, and we have to play our ass off to do this.
Buy or sell Saturday's loss to Nigeria in their first exhibition game being a positive for Team USA?
Ooh. I mean, it's either a huge positive, as you heard, or a giant negative. I'm going to sell, actually.
Sell.
I like leaning into that, and I think there's a real chance that they'll take this and they'll be focused. But I think the other concern is that, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, and I've referenced some GMs and NBA executives who pointed me to this months ago, that the wear and tear in this condensed season and condensed offseason and all the crap from COVID is real. And we've seen that, right? It's played itself out in a very, very specific way with all the injuries, including, you know, Giannis almost went down, we thought, in the last series. I mean, there's just Dario Saric is not a superstar, but he's a guy they could use, and he's out. I am worried that this U.S. national team that started all players who were all NBA, Lillard and Tatum and Durant and others, are worn out and are tired. I'm worried about injuries, and I'm just worried that they're going to be 75% physically or 60% physically of what they should be, and maybe 70%, you know, emotionally committed-wise. Against that Nigerian team has seven NBA players. You can't name them. They're guys that bring coffee to the other guys, but they're going to play at 110%. So I am worried it's not going to go particularly well. Yeah, I'm excited about what to sell tomorrow. Pretty exciting.
I mean, I have it all planned out. I wrote my whole take, so I'm good to go.
You did. You wrote it out. And if any more come up, I mean, I know you're hiding. Maybe you should just, like, talk to Stuart Kovacs, who's in the newsroom today. Maybe you should talk to him more often about your NBA. I need an intermediary because people used to, like, get all hot about something. What was the one that was just terrible? And I wish I was like someone. Joel Embiid's not a top five big man. By the way, I don't know if he's listening, but we have a new bike. Well, new bike. We have a new bicycle. My kids have learned to ride bikes. We have a new boss. Spike Eskin runs WFAN CBS Sports Radio. Came from Philly. Does a great Sixers podcast. It's wildly popular and is a big Sixers fan. Have you shared with him that you think Joel Embiid sucks at basketball?
No, we burned those tapes, so that he's never going to get a hold of
those. Tapes are burned.
Right.
Took them into the street, set them on fire, burned.
Right, and I've also learned not to talk to Stu about my hot takes because they get right back to you immediately.
But now,
immediately.
Yeah, no, it was immediate. I mean, I think sometimes he just had his phone open. I could, like, I'm like, hello, I'm like, it's just speakerphone, you talking. But now that you're the producer, we need that content. We need that good content. You got, lean into it.
There's some of them where I start and I'm like, you know what? Bill's going to make fun of me for that.
Share those or go to Snitch and Stew. It doesn't matter. Either one at D-Cell CBS on Twitter. Is Andrew Bogus, you have any snitch in him? Bogus, could you pull? Tom's got terrible NBA takes, but I can't get him anymore.
No, I don't have a snitch, but I do have a question. And right. It goes way back to like 20 minutes ago. I think I need to correct you guys on this Tom Cruise dating situation.
It's not real?
Well, so I didn't see these pictures, so I Googled them, and the woman that he was with at Wimbledon is not in Knives Out.
No. So, totally separate reference. It's okay that you only half listened to the show. I'm not mad at you. But she is Captain America's girlfriend, and then later we brought up a rejoin that sounds like a version of Knives Out, but I get knived in the elevator.
Where was she Captain America's girlfriend, though?
She is what's her name from The Last Avenger, and she had the short-lived ABC show, and she's also
See, I was listening.
You either got to watch the Marvel movie or listen to the show. You kind of like one of the two would have gotten you. Would have gotten you here? Any other corrections?
I was mostly listening, and you because you scared me because the woman who I thought you were referencing in Knives Out, I might have a crush on, and I would not want her to like Tom Cruise. That would be really, really unfortunate. So I'm glad that in my head you were wrong.
Have you seen? I'm sorry that we couldn't keep it there for you.
It's okay.
Have you seen Captain America: The Last Avenger? This is really the first one on the timeline.
Is that the one where he's like where Chris Evans is skinny and he becomes Captain America?
Yes.
Is that the very yes? That one I saw.
The love interest. She's English. She shoots him. She shoots her gun at his shield when he's flirting with somebody, and at the end he's like, "I love you."
Yeah.
That's who's dating Tom Cruise.
Oh, I'm put the two movies together. I apologize.
And let me just say, two things to you because I wasn't aware. And my wife said this, so I think it's okay. I'm going to say two separate things that are going to come together for a truth for you. Google Images, and then, separately, good job, Tom Cruise. That's what I got for you.
Those are two things. That second, in particular, that second sentence is 100% a thing I would say as well.
Good job,
Tom Cruise.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you, though. If there's an actress you like, it's hard to be happy if she's dating Tom Cruise based on simply the inability for many of us to get rid of the jumping on his couch Oprah Winfrey moment that was
Yeah, I might go even farther, like mind control and stuff like that. Like, he scares me, but otherwise, but I see your point.
I'm going to let you. That's yours, buddy. That one's all
I'm
yours.
Read some sports.
I live in LA. I got nothing to say. What you are? Do some sports. Do a little sports update.
I might as well, and it may be more correct or not than my Tom Cruise dating circle. Headlines are sponsored by Oxford Gold. Buying real gold and silver, the kind you can hold in your hands, is much easier than you think. Just call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 855-710-GOLD to get your free gold and silver investment guide. Everyone knew the Bucks would be better in Game 3 of the Finals back at home. Even the Suns knew it, but couldn't stop it. Head coach Monty Williams assumes they'll be better in Game 4 on Wednesday.
I think we know that we have to play with an unreal amount of aggression and energy for 48 minutes. That's the deal. And all of our guys know that we didn't. And we've had this happen to us before in the playoffs. And so I expect our guys to bounce back.
The Suns gave up huge runs to end the second and third quarters last night. 13 offensive rebounds equaled 20 second chance points for the Bucks. Milwaukee had 20 free throws, four more than Phoenix took. And Giannis was fairly impressive again last night. 41 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists, plus 21 from Drew Holiday. Devin Booker played the role of Drew Holiday / Chris Middleton last night. 10 points, 3 of 14 shooting for the Suns. And again, Game 4 on Wednesday night. The Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup boat parade is just getting underway. Police have divers in the water in case anyone tries to throw the cup like Tom Brady through the Lombardi Trophy between boats after the Bucks won the Super Bowl. We also have Pierre Maguire returning to the front office, becoming Ottawa's senior VP of player development. Maguire was not moving to ESPN or Turner, with NBC no longer carrying hockey. We do have the Home Run Derby tonight at Coors Field. Shohei Ohtani, the number one seed, and faces Juan Soto in round one. It all begins shortly after 8 Eastern. Police are now involved because three English players, all of whom are black, who missed their PK against Italy yesterday, are dealing with racist attacks on social media. A mural of one of those players, Marcus Rashford, was also defaced overnight. Here in the States, the U.S. men held off Haiti 1-0 in KC to start group play in the Gold Cup. And Conor McGregor was on social media last night saying he'll be fine after 3 hours of surgery for the broken left tibia and fibula he suffered on Saturday night. Guys, back to you.
Andrew Bogish. Thank you, buddy. At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Let's close things out by playing some sound that showcases the utter unlikability of both Ben Roethlisberger, Little Ben, and Conor McGregor next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show, Writer Than You, here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Bill Ryder. What's up? Man. What a weekend of sports. UFC 264, one of the most riveting fighters ever in the history of the sport that MMA has ever produced in Conor McGregor. He may be riveting because of what he says rather than what he does today. He's only won, I think, one fight in the last 4 years? But he's a dazzling, dazzling personality. Against Dustin Poirier, who is, by the way, super likable. Everybody likes. Great fighter. And actually, I thought McGregor, I mean, he came out attacking and looked pretty good, pretty solid. But, you know, if you watch UFC, you know, it doesn't matter what happens early, necessarily. Things can turn, and we never got there. We never knew who was going to take control in round two and whether we'd go further. Because in a freakish kind of injury, McGregor doing those leg kicks on Poirier, and Poirier blocks one, breaks a bone in his leg. McGregor goes to the ground. Not a great way for it to end, but it's a loss. And this is part of the deal. People get hurt. You get hurt, you lose. And one of the things about McGregor that I used to find interesting was how awful he was before a match and how at times respectful he could be after. But normally in victory. And sitting in the octagon, interviewed on his ass, with a broken leg, McGregor could not summon any class.
This is not over. If we had to take this outside with him, it's all outside. We don't give a...
He said that he believes that one of the kicks that he checked is what broke your leg.
There was no check. Your wife is in the DMs, hey, baby. We'll be at the after party, the Wynn nightclub, baby.
You don't talk about somebody. You don't talk about somebody's wife. Poirier would never do this because he's not a bad guy and there'd be consequences, but you're sitting there unable to defend yourself. There are some fighters, there are some people who would walk over to you, find you, and kick you in the face for saying something like that. Unnecessary, disrespectful. I like McGregor's not true. I never really liked McGregor, but I loved watching him fight. I was at both the Diaz fights, lost the first, won the second. They were battles. They were awesome. I think I've been to 7 or 8 McGregor fights, if you include the Mayweather silliness. He's incredible. He's a riveting guy to watch, but he can't get out of his own way. And it's time to do one of two things, and I don't think he's going to do either. You either have to go away and just shut up, or, and I think this is just as unlikely, he's got to find a way to have the passion and the thirst and the hunger to put himself through the massive pain that is required to be an MMA fighter. Look, I'm no expert. I'm no expert, but I used to, not even a good boxer, but I trained in boxing when I lived in Arkansas just to get in shape. And when I lived in Des Moines, Iowa, I went to a guy named Pat Miletich, and you MMA fans, hardcore fans will know who I'm talking about, used to train a bunch of fighters in the Quad Cities, in the Bettendorf, Davenport, Iowa area. Quad Cities, Eastern Iowa, Western Illinois. And I went to his gym once to just train for fun. And I walked in and I was like, oh. Because guys would just show up and they beat the living crap out of these dudes. And then if you made it, if you kept coming back, you'd sleep on a couch. Eventually you might get a job. And some of those guys worked their way up to be big time fighters and very, very wealthy dudes. But the toughness of it, the real, it's actual blood, sweat, and tears. It's not a metaphor, a euphemism. That's a real thing. And as you get wealthy, as you have the power and the wealth and the comfort McGregor has, I don't know if you're going to have the hunger. And so again, I don't need Conor McGregor social media message from the hospital.
What's up, fight fans? The Notorious here. Just out of the surgery room. Everything went to plan. Everything went perfect. I'm feeling tremendous. We got 6 weeks on a crutch now, and then we begin to build back. I want to thank all the fans all around the world for your messages of support. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank all the fans in attendance at the T-Mobile Arena, 21,800 fans in attendance. The place was absolutely electric. It was a hell of a first round. It would have been nice to get into that second round and then, to see what's what. But it is what it is. That's the nature of the business, a clean break of the tibia, and it was not to be. Dustin, you can celebrate that illegitimate win all you want, but you've done nothing in there. That second round would have shown all. And, onwards and upwards we go, team. We dust ourselves off, we build ourselves back, and we come back better than ever. Let's go, team.
The only way you come back better than ever is if you get back to the way you used to be. That hunger, that passion. That's another thing that probably I should have brought up earlier in the show. That's missing from Conor McGregor. That's not missing from Messi, from LeBron, from Brady, from Djokovic. All those guys have one thing in common, and that is at an age where it's a lot harder to do, they are remarkably committed to the actual sacrifices that are required for greatness. I roll my eyes a lot when athletes talk about the sacrifices they've had to make. Everybody makes sacrifices. People that serve our military make sacrifices. They go away from this country and they go away from their loved ones in a much less important way. It's much, much less important. But sports writers make sacrifices. Those guys are on the road, not flying first class, away from their families. Tom's making a sacrifice. Diesel is here doing his job when he's got a baby boy at home. You make sacrifices, whatever you do. Right? We all have things we have to go through. And so I get a little annoyed when athletes talk about, it's really make sacrifices. Like, bro, you play a sport for a living. That's amazing. But there's a level to which it's 100% true. The pain Djokovic puts himself through with his diet and his training, and LeBron, and Brady, and Messi, the ability to push back against time when they're wealthy and they're successful and they can own islands if they want to and they can do whatever the hell they want with their lives because they love the sport so much that they want to not just compete in it, not just make money, but win. They're already wealthy. It's about success. McGregor doesn't have that hunger anymore. You can see it in his training. You can see it in his conditioning. You can see it in the way that he fights. Yeah, he's a little bit older, but he's not putting in the time and the effort, the blood, the tears, the sweat that got him there. I'd love that McGregor to come back. He's going to talk just as much smack. He's going to bring up garbage about people, wives being in his DM. Whatever, that's who he is. He's not likable. But now he's not even that good. You want to be Conor McGregor. And as long as we all pay the money, I can't look away. I get it. He doesn't have to work that hard because we're still feeding that bank account. But it's become, in a lot of ways, like watching a car wreck where the only person that gets hurt is Conor McGregor. To be great again, to back up those words, he's got to stop. You get soft when you get successful. You got to find a way to find a hunger again. You do. And that McGregor, I don't know if I'll root for him, but at least I'll enjoy watching him. All right, that's the show. That's it. It goes fast. We appreciate you. Thank you to Tom DeCelestino, and really congratulations to him and Rebecca on William Joseph DeCelestino. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's beautiful. God bless you guys. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.